Howdy and welcome to Endercast, more fun than a game of buggers and astronauts. Today is Saturday, September 14th, and you are listening to episode 30, Two Hive Queens and a Hegemon. I'm Kelly from EnderNews.com, here with Crystal from EnderWigan.net. Say hi, Crystal.
Hey, everyone.
So we are also joined today by a very special guest, Jimmy Jax Pinchak, who plays Peter Wigan in the Ender's Game film, is here with us today. Jimmy, you want to say anything? Say hi.
Yeah, hi, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining in.
So, yeah, I mean, we want to thank you for joining us, Jimmy. You want to start? I think we talked to you a bit about this at Comic-Con, but just in case, like, for people who are tuning in for the first time to our podcast, why don't you give us a bit of your history with the book and maybe how you first heard of the role and your audition process, stuff like that?
Right, yeah. Well, originally, I think it was September of 2011, I went in to audition for the role of Peter, and it was, I think it was one scene, if I remember correctly. I think it was one scene, which I'm not going to describe in detail, but it's definitely one scene. And I had heard of Ender's Game, but not. It was very faintly. I had a friend a few years back that was reading the book, and so I barely knew about it. So I went in, I auditioned for it. And afterwards, I did a little bit more research into the book and the character, and it wasn't until about December of 2011 when we had gotten the call that I had been hired that I finally picked up the book. I bought the book at Barnes & Noble, and I started reading it. And, I read the script second after reading the book. I thought that they did a great job compressing such a large book with so many storylines and so many characters into a script. So I was someone who looked over the book first and then read the script, and it was a while ago, but I think that's the order I did it in. I was pretty satisfied.
You know, I think that will be really reassuring for fans, because I know that the whole Locke and Demosthenes plotline, the fact that they had to cut that was very upsetting for a lot of people.
Right.
And for you as, Peter Wigan, to say that, I think people will be happy to hear that.
Well, yeah, and two, you have to, it's what would make the movie the best. And
right.
I can't really say that involving that storyline in the movie would make it any better. Just from the fact that you really don't want to have so many storylines to confuse the audience. So, obviously, as the actor's playing Peter, it's like, yeah, that would have been cool to have it in. But just looking at it at the movie standpoint and what would make the best movie, the most powerful movie, the most powerful story, the most powerful script, I think that it was a wise decision. So, I think that right now the script is very solid. It's very straightforward. I think that that's one thing different about a book, too. When you write a book and when you shoot a movie, it's just a lot tougher to compress every single storyline into a movie.
Right.
So I think that the movie and the script works just as well without highlighting that story as much as it was in the book.
Yeah, now that you talk about it, something that that kind of reminds me of is, I can't remember which Star Wars it was, if it was 2 or 3. I think it was 3, or maybe, I don't know, but it was basically the one where they would cut from, space to, another part of space to Anakin and Amit. What was her name?
I don't remember.
The princess, basically. You know how it would cut, to them, a picnicking on a planet, and then it would cut to, Obi-Wan, and
oh, yeah,
that was, so disjointed. The cuts between those
right.
different storylines were really harsh. And it was very distracting.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just the difference between a book and a movie, and they're just two different animals. It's apples and oranges. So, you really have to take time to kind of convert something that really wasn't written to be shot in a movie to make it, shootable for a movie. And
right.
I think that they made a lot of great decisions when it came to that.
So did you know going into your audition that Peter Wigan was sort of a villain character, or did they tell you that?
I mean, just reading, because you get a breakdown with some information on the character, and but no, just reading that scene really, it was pretty self-explanatory. That scene, and I hate, you know, I know I'm teasing people a lot, but that scene was almost had a lot of different tells and a lot of different signs to who Peter Wiggin was. So I think it really summed up his entire character in one scene. But that's all I want to say.
Did you have to do anything to sort of get yourself in that mindset, like the earlier Peter Wiggin stages? I hope you didn't go skin any squirrels or anything. There wasn't anything like that, right?
Right. I mean, you know, it's tough because, and I've experienced before, playing any type of bully character or any type of slightly...
You were in Let the Right One In, right?
Excuse me?
You were in Let the Right One In.
Yeah, Let Me In, yeah.
And oh, yeah. Well, that's the Swedish version.
Yeah. What I found is that, you know, you're on set with a kid who's about the same age as you, and you're spending, you know, between school, military training, stunt training, hanging out at the hotel, that you really start to bond with people. So mm-hmm. I could see that where it would be tough to, after all that, especially of all the pre-production we had, you know, 2 weeks of pre-production of training before we shot any film at all, I could see where it'd be hard to go from a friendly atmosphere to really have to switch it off and play the part. But it really works when it really helps when you're working with talented actors such as Asa and Abigail Breslin, who, you know, everyone's professional. So it's almost unbelievable the transition that goes right before they say action and everyone being friendly to, you know, when you're shooting the scene, that's just a completely different atmosphere.
How many days were you on set?
Altogether, I was there, and then I went back, and I came back probably about 5 weeks.
Huh. So, I don't know if I heard you correctly, but you said that you first auditioned in September, and then you got the role in December, actually, because we talked to Surridge a few weeks ago, and he told us the same kind of thing, where that he auditioned, and then he didn't hear for months, and then he just heard, "I got it." I mean,
is that exactly
how it was for you? Like, you heard nothing, and then all of a sudden you had it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It's one of those things, you know, you're an actor, you're around so many things. It's just, you know, it's after 2 or 3 weeks, it just kind of leaves your mind.
Right.
So, yeah, it was like early September. You know, I did it as an audition. And, you know, 2 months later, 3 months later, actually, I just got a call. And I had to think back to what it was. That never happens, too, as an actor. I mean, that is so out of the ordinary. To the normal process, it almost kind of like took me completely by surprise, because usually everything happens really quick. You go out on something, and you know, a couple days later you'll find out if, you know, there's a callback and, you know, producers, and it really happens within the time of a month. So it was really shocking, but I think it shows how great Gavin is as a director, where he doesn't need to see someone do the same scene over and over and over again just to know that they could play the part well. So I think it comes down to having someone who really is good at what they do. I think that's what led Gavin to make great decisions on every cast member just by tape. It takes a certain skill to be able to do that, and I really respect him for that.
Just out of curiosity, I'm assuming not, that in the audition process or at any point, did you ever meet up with Asa or Abigail just to see, like, the chemistry? Was that ever a question, or was it just straight up, we think that this is going to work?
Right. No, I never met them before I got the role. I obviously knew who Asa and Abigail were.
Right.
Just because I saw Hugo, I saw Luma Sunshine, so I knew who they were, and I was excited to work with them. But, no, I think I first met them on set, like, the first or second day I was there. And I think that was it. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I guess I would be afraid. I mean, I know nothing about directing or casting or anything, but if I wanted to see, like, you know, Peter and Ender have such an interesting relationship, so I would want to see those two people together just to see if that exists between them, like that tension and that. But I guess, like, again, it's just casting, acting. So.
Well, I think when you have people who are so experience like those two.
Right,
I could see in some cases where it could be necessary, but, you know, you have to remember you're dealing with two people who are incredibly talented, incredibly experienced. I think that even if we met each other, I don't think that would have any influence on how our work would go when we're actually behind, in front of the camera and doing the scene. That's the joy of having people who are really top notch, like, Abigail and Asa.
Yes.
So, I mean, you have a musical background, obviously. You have your own band, the Jimmy Jack's Pinchak Band. So it must have been pretty cool for you to go to New Orleans to film. Did you go and see, a lot of musical things when you were there? Or?
Not really. We came in there from Mardi Gras, so obviously there was that factor. Most of the time it wasn't positive because I was trying to sleep because I had an early call time. And it was, I was really occupied. Yeah, we would have a very early call time. I'd be waking up at 5,
ouch,
6 in the morning. We would do school for 3 hours. We would do 2 hours of military training, 2 hours of stunt training. And then by the time we would be out, we would be getting back pretty late. So and by the time after that, you're just exhausted.
So had to do the military training too?
Yeah. They had me. Well, it's interesting. At first they didn't, and then a couple of days after I arrived, they had me in the boot camps, the military training, and then also the training with Garrett.
Just a question about this, and you cannot answer because I understand that this might be treading into spoiler territory, but Ender's school in the film is an international fleet sort of academy-like looking thing. We saw a still of it, and Stilson attends the same school, so apparently this isn't a school for, morons, which in the book,
right.
I'm not really sure how they're supposed to be swinging that. In the film, are you attending the same school as Ender? Is that why you had to do the boot camp stuff, or is it not ever really made clear? Are you going to say you can't answer?
Yeah. Gavin wanted, and I think it's a great decision, he wanted characters to have experience, to experience what they would have experienced even though it's not on camera. So obviously I was rejected for being too, trigger friendly, if you say that, or too evil with not enough. So I was rejected, but I had been through that whole process. Being the first one.
Okay. That school, I'm guessing,
there might or might not have been a scene where there was that I was in with stunt stuff. There might or might not have been that. but the military training itself was just so I had would experience what I would have experienced anyway, which I thought was a pretty good idea because you really. The director wants to see people who have some experience of what the character experienced, kind of like a method acting type thing.
That was very sneakily answered. Well done.
Yeah. Well, not quite.
It's okay. So, here's another question for you. I really, really want this to happen. Okay, we had Sir John here, and he sings and does his stuff and plays some guitar and probably 10 other instruments I don't even know. And, Abigail has her band, you have your band. When are you guys going to get together and do something? Anything? We are, desperate
for some kind of collaboration.
Anything.
I think that, that's a good idea. I mean, I think, Abigail lives in New York, obviously, so that's tough.
Right.
I would love to, sooner than later get together with them and play a little bit. Not sure if it would be released to everybody else, but I would love to play with I would love to jam around with them.
We need a video. We need you and Serge to get together and record something just for giggles.
Maybe. Yeah.
Make it happen.
You know what? If we rehearse something and we got it down, absolutely.
Okay.
What is next for you? You have your band, and I'm guessing you have school things too. So, are you gonna keep going into acting, or what are you looking for in the future?
My horizons are open. I'm going to college next year, and so obviously, having to do that tough process of applications, going into record an EP with the band. In this next month, try to get that released sometime this year. And yeah, you know, just keeping everything open.
Have you seen those new the new propaganda posters that the LA Times put out recently? The energy
I saw a few posters from the website, from the official website that I was emailed yesterday by somebody. Yeah, they look good. I like them.
Did you see the international one?
Like there's a
montage of faces.
The like Star Warsy one.
I think so. I know I saw all of them. It depends how long ago they were released. I saw two new ones yesterday on the Centennial website.
Yeah.
That I thought were really cool. And
I really
think I think they're great. I really like them.
Yeah, so the Seeking Leaders one had the picture of the International Fleet School, so that's why she was asking about the whole... Because I guess what we were wondering was whether, like, all the schools on Earth are military schools, basically, because I got the impression in the book that, like, and it just went to a regular elementary school.
You know, I think I did, too, and then I was, like, why I was asking, because I was, like, you know, if Stilson and Ender go to the same school, then or if they're in the same class, which I don't know how it is in the movie, it doesn't really matter, you know, then... I mean, Stilson looks a lot older than Ender, at least the actor does.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming he's older. If not, that doesn't really matter. I was just wondering if it was something like all those kids like are Battle School bound, or are they all monitored in the movie?
Yeah, because in that poster, there's like a pic. I mean, in that picture, there's kids like walking in like formation, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering if they were all like candidates for Battle School in the film, or... But I understand that that's probably something you can't tell us. We're just speculating.
Right, yeah. I don't know exactly how to answer that one.
Okay.
But this is just what we do.
There are a lot of questions in that.
No, it's fine. And we're honestly not trying to trick you into saying anything. We would edit it out anyway. Like, we're just talking.
Right.
So.
No, yeah. I think what I know is that there are two schools, and, you know, obviously the one, you know, he's in one of Stilson, first, and, you know, I think, I mean, does he look a little older than Ender? Yeah, but I don't know what the logic is script wise of, I'm just trying to dance around the question. I really don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, it could be where, like, Ender is, like, super smart, so they put him, like, a couple grades ahead or something. I mean, people skip grades, right?
I don't know if that's laid out in the script or not. But, yeah, I guess that's a good, that's a pretty good theory.
Because, yeah, you know, I mean, Kelly, you remember when we talked to Tom Ruby, right? He told us about how Duke University had, like, a program for genius kids.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would imagine that if you stick, like, 10-year-old kids into college with, like, 18-year-olds, there's going to be some, like, hard feelings. So,
right.
I mean, yeah, I can see it working even with the size difference. So,
yeah. I feel like in the book it never really made sense to me, because you have these kids, they were in the same grade, but Ender seemed so much cleverer than the other ones. Like, what was he doing there? And this other kid's like a jerk. So, I don't... It never really made sense to me in the book anyway, like, in just a vague way. So if they have a little I'd be fine with it.
Just going off of life experience, I mean, I've had classes at my school where, you know, if I was a you know, sophomore, I've had classes where seniors have been in my class.
Yeah.
You know, there's always mixed classes. So it's not something I would read too much into, but yeah, it's a good point. It's a good theory.
So, okay, so not to nitpick anymore, but the It's Us or Them poster, I really like the look of it. I really like the slogan. But, like, to me, the picture just doesn't make sense.
I said that to them. Like, okay,
Yeah, that's what I said, too.
Did they show you that in advance?
Yeah, because I was like, why would they have this picture? This picture is from one of Ender's battles.
I was like, why would you use this to recruit for battle school when it's a picture from, like,
the future
of Ender's Lair. You can't use that. But they did anyway. I'm the only one that cares.
They've got you extremely advanced technology. They can see into the future.
I told them the same. Well, see. We see how much they value our opinion. Like, we tell them the same thing and they just go with it. I love that they're listening to these podcasts and they're like, those girls. Like,
I can just imagine the graphic designer like spending like hours on it, and then like we come back and we're like, no, it doesn't make sense.
This
like,
is wrong.
Oh, I hate these people.
I know. I feel so bad.
So, what?
There are Ender's Game ICs coming up soon. I think we talked about this last week. There have been no sightings of the Ender's Game IC.
Yeah, I went to a Kmart because I wasn't going to go to the movies, and I wasn't going to pay for a ticket to get into the theater to look for the cup. So I just went to Kmart, and so I didn't see
anything.
I was telling Kelly, I was trying not to look like a stalker, like looking over the counter, like at their cups like a creepy person, but I didn't see any, so they just had the regular like blue and red paper
cups.
Drove
past a Burger King yesterday, and there was a big sign in the window for ICs, that they have ICs now, and I was like, wait a second, now if they get them up at Burger King, this goes against everything I believe in about fast food. It's like, I'm gonna have to go to Burger King and get an Ender's Game IC. This is crap, but I'm sure they'll pop up somewhere. Someone will tweet about it or something, and we'll find it and know where to go. I just want the cup.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if we talked about it when we talked about it the first time, but the ICs are going to have a code for you to enter on the IC website to get entered to go to some kind of, like, training at the Kennedy Center, some astronaut training.
Nice.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool.
It's a shame that they didn't do space camp, because the kids went to space camp for training, so that would be sort of a nice, you know, wrap around back to that, but the Kennedy Center is pretty cool too. I went there last May, April or May, and I was just really impressed with that whole facility. It's worth checking out. See, should we maybe wrap a little bit?
Yeah, do you guys have any more questions?
Yeah, we can.
You know, we're pretty good. Like, obviously, if there's stuff that you want to talk about.
Yeah, if you want to mention anything,
on,
it's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, just like half the reason we want you on here is so we can be like, hey, this is Jimmy.
All I can say is that I'm excited to see the movie. I think that just being on set, it was a great experience. There was great attitudes on set. It was a very positive environment. I think the script was great. I think that the director was great. I thought that, just by looking at the trailers, the effects look great. Cast. So the cast looks great. So, yeah, I'm excited to see it. I'm just as excited as everybody else to see it. So, I would just, to the people who are, plagued with impatience like me, I would just say that, give it time, because from the time we shot it in, March of 2012, it's almost hard to believe that it's been
an entire year now.
So I'd say that, September, October, two more months.
It's not even 2 months. It comes out in England and a couple of European countries October 25th. So, I know. It's crazy. So
I guess you guys are going to take a flight to England?
Yeah, let me just do that.
Yeah, I'll get right on booking that.
In Hawaii.
Well, I'm sure the diehard fans are definitely considering going to England to get in 5 days in advance, which I admire. Anybody who does that, I completely admire for doing that, because that's a very big task to undertake.
My pocketbook is like, you're a fan, but not gonna happen.
Yeah,
it'll be okay.
Well, I mean, even if they said, hey, we're gonna fly you there so you can cover the event, I'd be like, oh my god, because that's pretty far to go, So
for you especially,
right.
Yeah. And now we would like to welcome to our show Joni from the UK. Say hi, Joni.
Hello.
Why don't you share with us a bit of your fan background with Ender's Game?
Okay. The person that got me into it was my uncle, who used to be a book reviewer with CompuNet, which was like the thing before the internet. And so back in the 80s when Ender's Game was first out, and he's always loved it. And so he introduced it to me a couple of years ago. I think he was slightly disturbed by how much I got obsessed with this film. But yeah, that's basically, yeah.
By the way, I love your accent.
Well, I'm going to try really hard to stay with my own accent, because I'm really bad at picking up what I hear. So
really quickly.
Really? Oh, that's funny.
Stay English, hopefully, and not sound like I'm mocking you, because I won't be.
Well, thanks for the heads up.
All right. The way this works is we're going to ask you 5 questions of increasing difficulty. If you can get 2.5 out of 5, you'll be a commander. And if you get less than that, then you're a fart eater.
Okay.
Easy enough.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
The first question is super easy. Okay. Whose arm does Ender break on the launch to battle school?
That would be, well, I say Bernard, but I get Bernard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Correct. All right, you are at 1. Question 2. Who commanded Rat Army when Ender was transferred from Salamander?
That would be Rose Denoz.
2 out of 5. You're doing well. So now I think the 5th one might not be hard enough, but that's okay. Question 3. Bean tells Graf that the students are usually what age before they go to command school? So he says nobody goes to command school until they're this age.
I'm going to say 16.
Ooh.
That's right. If you get 2 more, you're going to totally beat the girl that was on before. And I'm like, I was impressed by her. Now everyone's doing so well.
All right. Question 4. How many battle rooms does Battle School have in the book?
This is, I hope, one that I learned, which is 9.
Wow, you're at 4.
We're going to have to start making these harder.
I know.
Okay, question 5. Graf tells Ender there hasn't been a dragon army in how many years?
4.
This is crazy. You're crazy. I don't even think I would get all those right.
Oh my goodness. You got 5 out of 5.
But see, I'm glad people are doing well, because now maybe people will be like, okay, it's not so scary.
I know. I know. I think people take the quiz and they're like, oh, I can't do it.
Yeah, it's possible.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on our show. We hope
for showing up twice.
I'm sure you had fun since you got a perfect score.
I can breathe now.
Dreading it all week, I'm sure.
Yeah. That was fun to reread the book and brush up.
Oh my gosh, people are preparing for these now.
I know. People are reading the book again just to come on our quiz.
What are you doing?
Well, thank you very much, Joni. It was nice talking to you.
Yep, thanks, Joni.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right, so that was Joni from the UK playing our latest version of Pop Quiz Fart Eater. So just as a reminder to people, if anyone ever wants to play Pop Quiz Fart Eater, you just have to send us an email and we'll try to get you on. So one more thing to mention is the calendar is actually out next Tuesday. And I mean, usually, like, by now, pictures of the calendar would have leaked somehow.
I have been looking, or like, and there's nothing.
A new cover, because I'm pretty sure that the cover that they have on Amazon and Barnes & Noble's websites is a placeholder image. But so far, there hasn't been any new one. And I even emailed the publisher and I was like, hey, do you guys have a new cover or is this it? Or...
anything?
Because, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's coming out soon. It's going to have, it's a 16-month calendar. It's 24 pages. So, I mean, that's more stills than we've seen already.
Right.
So, like, it's going to be new stuff. Yeah. So,
I think that's going to be great. I think the calendar's going to be great.
I'm hoping that there's one of you. I mean, we haven't seen anything of Peter Wiggin. We haven't seen anything of, I mean, I guess we've seen Valentine, like, briefly on the poster, but... yeah, but we haven't seen anything of you.
But there's going to be a great certain element of mystery and surprise to that. So I'm actually a little happy about that. I think there's pros and cons to each one, but I think that Peter is such an interesting character, especially in this movie. I think I'm almost kind of excited that people are going to get their first impression by watching the movie, because I think that definitely has merits to it. So
the only thing we've seen of you is from the Ender's Game experience on the mantle. There's like a cute little photo of like you and Abigail and
Ender's,
like cute little pictures, and I thought that was really adorable. But other than that, that's what we've got.
Okay,
so you guys look so happy together.
Yeah.
All right. So we just want to remind everyone that we are 47 days to November 1st right now. So we are 7 weekends away from the U.S. release. 7. My goodness. It's
it
like...
kind of makes me really depressed because, like, we've been running our sites for, you know, well over... like, yours has been going longer than mine. It's like years. And
yes. It's just, it's crazy.
I feel like something's ending in a way.
Like pretty soon I'm going to be able to count how many weeks on, like, one hand.
I know.
You know, it's like, oh, my goodness. All right. Anyway, so thank you to Jimmy for joining us for Endercast.
Thanks so much.
It was really nice speaking to you.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Anytime. Yeah.
Okay. Well, why don't you tell us your website address?
Oh, yeah, just jimmypinchak.com. I think jimmyjackspinchak.com works just as well. Takes you to the same place.
Oh, okay. So both work. Okay. All right. So we want to thank all our listeners for tuning in. If this is your first time listening, you can catch all of our past episodes on our website, www.endercast.com, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook at EGEndercast. And remember, shoot straight. Bye, guys.
Everybody.